What's going on, grandkids? Holy crap, an unfamiliar voice becomes familiar this week. Eric Nelson here, introducing the show, along with Kevin DeFrango. What's going on, Kevin?
Not much. I'm glad that I at least heard the back end of my name there, because I did not hear my first name, because for whatever reason, the phone cut out for it, just a hair.
Uh-oh. The no one out there is going to know who DeFrango is. Uh-oh. I don't know what's going to happen. You're safe for at least a week.
Oh, no, I'm not saying that it was the recording device's fault. You may well be saying that when we listen back to this, but I did not hear it personally.
Okay, well, take my word for it. I said your first name. It's okay. I think we're going to be joined I think we'll be joined later by Jeremy Mays, should he decide to man up and actually pick up his phone after his date tonight. Hey, speak of the devil.
Hey, what's going on?
Jeremy Mays is now with us. How's it going? How was your date?
Very good. We mowed down Zaxby and then drove 5 minutes back home. So I didn't have a chance to get that Zaxby's bloat yet.
What is the place called? The Dexies? Like Midnight Runners?
No, Zaxby's. Nothing that cool.
I don't know what it is.
So what are we talking about? Are we talking about the mumbling yokels, or are we talking about the drug stuff yet?
No.
No, I milked this out partially, well, two different ways, by waiting to get a hold of Eric and by not having water ready when we were getting ready to record.
But now, Jeremy, you hopped in just at the right time. We're all introducing ourselves, and now that the circle jerk is over, we will be talking about everything you just mentioned and a whole lot more.
Okay, good. Because there's something really funny on YouTube about one of our topics. So, but it's one of those unintentional things, but it's just apropos, whatever it is.
Yeah.
So,
Nice.
Yeah. It just works.
Nice. Well, actually, this episode is going to be very heavily tuned to social media. Wrestlers are adopting social media. It's ridiculous to see what some of these people are doing. Some of them have actually been at it for a while now, vlogging and putting up videos on YouTube, and some of them are blowing up on Twitter, and that's what we're going to talk about tonight for the most part.
Cool.
Yay,
sorry. I'm rewatching. I know I'm supposed to do this at 8:55 per Kevin, but I'm rewatching one of the videos we're going to talk about, so I just started laughing again, so sorry.
All right. I guess the big news of the week has been the feud between Hulk Hogan and the Ultimate Warrior. They wrestled at WrestleMania 6. They wrestled at Halloween Havoc 98. Now they're feuding on Twitter. Who would have ever thought that our childhood heroes were going to clash on the fucking internet someday down the road? I don't know. I guess to summarize the story, something happened after Macho Man Randy Savage passed away. Hulk Hogan made a comment like, I just reconnected with Randy, brother, after 10 years of not talking to him. And that completely set off the Ultimate Warrior, who's full of rocket fuel as it is. And now he's been tweeting and he's been posting videos on YouTube just slandering Hulk Hogan. Jeremy, I'll start with you, I guess. I don't know, what are your opinions on what's going on between these two?
Okay, well, after you got on my case about how we didn't post the Warrior videos or whatever else, I finally got a chance to watch it while our non-thunderstorm rolled through my parents' house today. Okay. And I was texting Kevin while I was watching it. That motherfucker should be sued immediately. I mean, I know we say some awful shit about people on here. you know, part joking, but we always follow with an allegedly because we don't really know anything. But since we have, you know, we have microphones or whatever, we can say what we want. But we've never come right out and said, as much as we allude to it or goof on it, like, God, I don't even want to say it really, but, you know, we never come right out and said, like, this so-and-so does this kind of drug, does this all the time, does this here. I mean, like, fact. Nothing like what... And isn't it just Warrior? It's not Ultimate Warrior now?
What's his legal name is Warrior.
Okay, yeah. So
it's kind of like,
you know,
Kramer. Actually, Kramer had a first name, Cosmo, but
mm-hmm.
yeah. That's his legal name. I like on the self-destruction of the Ultimate Warrior DVD, people are like, is he going to marry someone and her last name is going to be Warrior, or how does that work exactly?
I don't yeah, that was, I watched that after, I actually watched that 7-minute video since the full shoot isn't out yet. I watched that after I watched the other one, so I was already in a giddy mood while I was watching that, and it did not disappoint, that's for sure. I mean, I don't know. I'll let Kevin talk for a second because I'll just run all over him. So.
Yeah, this thing started
like
with this thing started with Warrior tweeting something about karma is coming to collect, and it's turned into this series of YouTube videos. Kevin, I think you've seen at least one, if not a couple of them. I mean, what's your opinion of where Ultimate Warrior is coming from and the envy, as Hogan said, sewage that he's spewing?
I have no idea. I'm not even sure he knows what he's trying to accomplish. Like, it's like,
yep.
I think Jeremy pointed out to me that, you know, like, all of this stuff has pretty much been said.
Yeah.
Like, most of the material that he covered in there, it's just like, yeah, no, we heard those phone calls between his son Nick and him, like, ages ago. It didn't tarnish his image, really.
No.
Like, I mean, I know for certain people it might have, but, I mean, as an overall whole, it did not do anything to Hulkamania whatsoever.
Well, not to Hulkamania, but it was part of the, I guess, denigration and erosion of Hulk Hogan as a person. I mean, that's something that weighed on him heavily, and, you know, now he's just like a shell of a human being, basically, but somehow Hulkamania just refuses to die in light of all this white trash bullshit that Hulk Hogan gets himself into.
Well, we're not going to start talking about TNA, are we?
I hope not.
All right, well, you said white trash bullshit, and I was like, no. That was not on the agenda, so I'm leaving if that's the case. So.
Speaking
of
that,
I
guess I should turn it on.
No, don't
be distracted.
It just reminded me to turn it on.
No.
I think Kevin put it right on, nailed it, though. I don't think Warrior has any clue what he's, I mean, any idea what he's doing here. He's just venting for whatever reason. I mean, the only new information that could have come from this was Hulk Hogan does cocaine all the time. He will sit in a room and do cocaine all day. I thought that was a new one.
I think we'd all heard that he'd done it before. You know, people had said that he'd done it before, but I never heard that he just fucking sat on a folding chair in the locker room and just started line after line after line.
Like,
and then
yeah, like Tony Montana and Scarface.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's when he started describing it. I just imagined Hogan with just that mound of cocaine and just smashes his face into it.
Yeah.
And that's what he does all day. And then the other thing was that him and Linda had an open marriage, and all the wrestlers were fucking Linda. I was like, okay, that's kind of weird. But, again, so? I mean, okay, who cares?
Hey, man, if it walks like a rat and it smells like a rat, it's probably a fucking rat. I noticed, I think, Kevin, you said that you weren't sure what set him off or something set him off. It seems like every time Warrior pops up with one of these ridiculous rants, whether it's on a blog like he used to do like 10 years ago or on these YouTube videos now, it seems like it's based off of either a negative comment someone makes toward him or a negative comment someone makes towards someone that he's like passionately protective of. You know, when Randy Savage died, he put out a couple of 10-minute videos where he's like, I miss you, brother, and you used to really shake my hand really nicely and firm and man and all this stuff. And he had all these nice things to say. And then Hogan's like, oh, we almost reconnected, brother. You lying son of a bitch, Terry. You know you're lying. Like, whoa, easy. And it turns into an hour-long shoot interview that may or may not ever see the light of day because of this pending lawsuit. Kevin, are you upset that you're not going to get to see the whole 55-minute video possibly?
Oh my God. Well, you know, I didn't even watch any of it really today. I just listened to it. I was like, I just use YouTube as an audio clip half the time.
Yeah. Well, you didn't miss much other than old Bucktooth Warrior sitting in his home office.
Okay, I'm glad. Sorry, I'm sorry, Kev, but what the fuck happened to his teeth? I mean, were they always that bad and his face was so bloated it didn't really, you know, it swelled everything up? Or
yeah, no, his teeth were that bad.
Yeah, they
really?
Were, actually. He must have hit it well, or he did most of his interviews with his back to the camera or something.
Yeah, his head down.
But,
if his back wasn't to the camera, his hair was in front of his face.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed that when he came back in 96 and had that one match with Jerry Lawler, and he said, you know, he was pointing his hat and it's the Warrior, guided by the belief that in the King of the Ring, I'm going to kick your ass. And I noticed his big buck teeth were hanging out over his bottom lip when he cut that promo. But that's probably because he was wearing a hat, which covered up his hair that usually covered up his face.
Yeah.
So there you go.
I just watching that video, you can't take your eyes off of those gleaming white stems of his, though. I mean, when he gets mad, he's like, I don't know what you're doing. And his whole face, like, creases backwards, and those teeth just come to the forefront. And it's like, I don't even know what you're saying anymore. But you cut a line with those things, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, my God. I put out the theory that Warrior's just trying to ride Hulk Hogan's coattails. Any thoughts on that one?
Okay, I gotta turn TNA off. I'm sorry. Hang on. All right.
I started from the beginning. I'm almost in tears over here watching this garbage.
Yeah. What did you ask for? Since we both ignored you and turned TNA on.
Okay. No. Okay. As far as the Warrior goes, like, no, that's you kind of. Eric, you almost said it. Like, the guy just seems to pop up every now and again. Like, that's why I don't think he has an agenda. Like, he doesn't ever seem to have, like, he wasn't going to sell the 55-minute video, was he? Or is he? Like, is that kind of the main reason?
I don't believe he's coming up for sale. I think it's just going to go up online. And he said something like, the reason they picked June 17th, I don't know, something technical. And so that's what's going to happen. June 17th, assuming this lawsuit, you know, doesn't keep it from happening, this video will show up online.
Yeah. Well, wasn't there also something, though, he posted, was it a video or a tweet about Hogan denying the Warriors or whatever the Warrior skis, whatever they're called? Something else set him off about, like, the way his fans were treated by Hogan or TNA or something like that? And then a week later, this comes out. I mean, it goes back to what Kev said. There's no agenda for him. It's just if something pisses him off, he throws a video out for some reason.
Yeah. I think that's about all it amounts to. Yeah. I think the timeline was Randy Savage died. Warrior probably put that thing out remembering him. Then Hogan said what he said about the same time. Warrior must have come out with some video that's like, no, you're full of shit. Or a tweet or something, at which point other, you know, little warriors started posting on Hogan's Twitter account and on his Facebook page, at which point Hogan blocked them, which led Warrior to this whole...
Okay.
I mean, seriously, it went from... I mean, I can't believe the extreme it went from, you know? It went from, like, a 1 to a 4 to, like, a 10 on a scale of 10 in no time.
Mm-hmm.
From don't block my followers to... You do coke all day long while everyone on Earth fucks your ex-wife.
Well, no, when you put it like that, it's like, well, yeah, I guess it kind of did, huh? So,
yeah. I mean, he just fucking flew off the deep end with that one.
Well, and my favorite part of his videos, though, is that he's clearly in his basement.
Yeah. Yep.
And I don't know why this cracked me up, but he's got filing cabinets. I don't know why every time I see that, it just starts cracking me up. I'm like, what? I mean, you know, people say they have a home office. Okay, but no one's got stacks of filing cabinets. Like, what are you doing? What are you possibly filing away? That you need, I think it's three, four drawer filing cabinets in the background. Like, what are you doing? and I know that's like so incidental, but it drove me crazy. And then the other point is, he has a wedding band on. Can you imagine being his family? Well, I guess kind of like a Leaf and Bishop right now, but this madman is sitting in his basement recording himself venting to somebody who they have had no contact and who knows how long. There goes Dad, you know, videotaping himself like a jackass again.
No, I think you pretty much nailed it right there when you said that Elise and Bishop probably feel the same way. If Carly were here, she'd feel the same way. I'd be locked away in a room, too, doing this show right now. Yep. I think that's exactly it. The ramblings of a madman.
But at least we're doing a show for, you know, thousands of people. And but no, so at least we've got a purpose. You know, I don't know. I'm kind of losing steam here because we're doing a show that's dogging somebody else, So
yeah.
So if you ignore that part, we're just fine.
Yeah.
So.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. What about the way Hulk Hogan is responding to this? And obviously he's, you know, if you follow his tweets, he always, like, every morning is like, "Good morning, Hulkamaniacs. You got to thank God and be positive, brothers, and breathe fresh air," and all this stuff. And so he's kind of doing that. It looks like he's taking the high road along with threatening the possibility of a lawsuit. I mean, he's not shy to social media. He's on Twitter every day. He's not shy to being on video. He's done it before, and he goes out and he does it for money when he goes off and does, like, the Hulk Hogan and Friends tour and stuff like that. But he's not just sitting in front of a flip camera spouting off for an hour. I guess, is he approaching this the right way, the best way?
I'll let Kev go first.
Well, I have no idea. I mean, what does the Ultimate Warrior have?
he's got a nice picture of himself in the background. You didn't see it if you didn't watch it, Kevin. Nice drawing
of himself
in the background. Half of his face was the old painted warrior, and half of his face was the new 50-year-old gray warrior.
Yeah, no, I'm actually playing it right now.
That's why you're playing.
Because I had to look at the filing cabinets. Like, he doesn't even have three of them. He has six of them. Like, I don't know. Like,
there's six?
Yeah, like, there are some right behind him that he's covering up. Like, you can just see the corner of them. It's like where the warrior painting is. Or whatever the fuck it is. It looks like some type of a cutout. I mean, it's propped up. It doesn't look like a painting.
No, I don't know what it is. Some kid drew it. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah.
All right, and I guess since I was going to bring the painting up later, but if someone, all right, Eric, if somebody gave you, like a Holford Swain fan, came up and gave you a picture of half Fatso Eric, half current skinny Eric, like a career retrospective. I mean, that's what that painting is supposed to be. You would willingly accept that and be like, "Hey, thanks. Okay."
Yeah, I would.
As soon as you got home, you would toss that shit in the attic or throw it away.
You know, I don't know if that's true. I've actually.
I guess I shouldn't call you out like that, but yeah, you throw it away.
Here's the thing. Holdfor Swank played a show in Joplin, Missouri. Let me think. It would have been like January. No. I'm sorry, I'm an idiot. It would have been like June of 2008. We went down to Missouri and played a little string of shows, and we played Joplin, Missouri at a place called The Surge, owned and operated by a husband and wife couple who had like a 10-year-old kid who I was just sitting at the merchandise table after our set, minding my own business, counting money. And this kid was sitting next to me. He was drawing me the whole time. And then he gave me the drawing of me, and I kept it in the merch tub for, like, 2 years until it just, like, blew away. So that's a ridiculous – it's funny that you mentioned that, and it's a ridiculous thing for me to bring up, but somebody actually drew Fat Eric when I was Fat Eric, and I kept it for years as long as I could until I just lost it. But then again, this is the Ultimate Warrior we're talking about here, who's probably got fucking one drawer in his filing cabinet devoted to fan art of him.
So wait a minute. I appreciate what you were getting at with that story, but where did you keep that paint or the picture he drew of you?
Our merchandise tab.
Oh, okay. All right. So I rest my case. so.
The equivalent of the trash. Yeah.
It was so proudly displayed. It was the piece of paper you had to constantly move to get to the change bucket. He thinks,
well,
kid, this will only get in the way every time we do a gig now. Thanks for nothing.
Yeah. I know where it disappeared. Max threw it away.
Yeah, until it blew away. You might want to choose your words a little more carefully when you're talking about Joplin, Missouri.
Well, the fucking I've been to Joplin, Missouri. That tornado did about $10 million worth of improvement. That place is fucking
now see, that's one of those rare clearances where I was being the sensitive one, and Eric just ran it over with a bulldozer followed with a flamethrower. So
yeah, I've been there. They had a fucking bulldozer and flamethrower
and
filled a plum on top of it.
Well, God already did that, so or whatever did.
Oh, my Lord.
Sorry, Kevin. So
Kevin's trying to find the hang-up button. Oh, my phone keeps getting disconnected. Sorry, guys.
No, I can't believe... I can't believe what I just saw, honestly. Like, I mean, it was bad enough that that what's-her-name, that Mickey James fought for Tara's freedom. Now they just had this dumb backstage skit where they're playing around like they're homegirls, like, fighting over her belt. And giggling like a bunch of fucking schoolgirls. Jesus Christ.
So we've got tornado,
like
disaster
ago.
Ghost.
Yeah.
I knew this was a bad idea. As soon as
I
heard three-man boot, I was like, Kevin and I can't barely pay attention to each other, let alone the three of us pay attention to each other.
Well, as I see it, Hulk Hogan is doing a good job of keeping his head above water. And I would love to see the Ultimate Warrior lose everything in his home office in this lawsuit. All of the second drawer goes from bicep workouts to Brutus the Barber beefcake. Sit-ups to SummerSlam.
What if you've got any milky nipple portraits in there?
Hey, I don't know. I don't know why I just thought of this when you said that, but I actually had a 2-shelf filing cabinet full of pro wrestling torches from February 96 on.
Oh, my
so
Lord.
If you ever see video of me in my home office ranting and raving about, like, Jordan, the Big Round Wizard, and their filing cabinets in the background. They're full of pro wrestling torches.
Do you go back and read those like you go back and watch videos?
Yep, I do.
Yeah, never mind. I'm not saying anything. It's forget it.
It could be worse. I could live in Joplin. They could all end up next door.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, dude, that's old news. They'll be fine. What we really need to do is send our money to China. They have big problems over there.
At least it's news. Well, the torch doesn't get anymore. Anyways.
I guess kind of staying on topic there, you do have to believe that Hogan is, by saying nothing really and getting lawyers involved, even if he doesn't get the filing cabinets, he can at least not get this video published, I'd imagine.
Yeah.
Well, okay, there was another thing. Hogan kind of has to play it quiet, doesn't he, though? I mean, it's a rare moment of seriousness, I guess. He's got to stay quiet if he's going to get lawyers involved. But at the same time, there's part of me that kind of hopes he does. And then something does come of this, and then we find out all this shit is true. That, like, while Hogan's slamming Andre the Giant in front of 30,000 people, and I'm sorry, 300,000 people, that Little Tokyo and King Kong Bundy are tag team and Linda in the back. Do you know how awesome that would be? Or Lord Littlebrook, sorry, not Little Tokyo, but you know how awesome of a story that would be? It would be in public record so we could all print it out and, like, jack to it. God, that'd be awesome.
Little Beavis just give Linda a shot in the boiler. and Bob Uecker's back there doing commentary on the fucking mixed tag midget woman match.
I can see Hogan.
What am I trying to say? This is how I see it happening. Hogan is not trying to sue Ultimate Warrior to keep him from telling stories that are true, because I bet, I don't know if they're true. I don't care. It's funny if they are. It's kind of funny that Warrior said it if they're not. He's saying it to just shut the Ultimate Warrior up, and he's doing it because he can. He's like flexing whatever, you know, legal and political muscle Hulk Hogan can flex to say, listen, you are an idiot. You're using my name to get ahead. Now shut the fuck up. I don't know who I've lost and who I've gained in this phone conversation.
I'm still here.
Okay.
I'm back in, and thankfully it's still recording. So.
Oh yeah. Yep. So yeah. I don't know. That's what I think anyway. Hogan's not doing this out of, you know, worry that people are going to hear these wild true stories about Hogan. He's doing it because he can, and he just doesn't, you know. Like I seriously believe Warrior is just going to ride these Hogan coattails until he can't ride them no more.
Yeah. Well,
one's going to pick him up, so, I mean, it's the only way for him to get any type of notoriety, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, the WWE is not going to bring him back in. Obviously, TNA isn't going to.
Okay, Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say it'd be hysterical if Pro Wrestling Ohio brought him in.
I'm just going to throw this out there, Jeremy, before you say it. Hulk Hogan, every time you turn around, has a new endorsement deal that Warrior's also not getting. So you're not going to see Warrior hawking a grill or an energy drink or a fantasy wrestling game or a fantasy fishing game or Pasta Mania either. I mean, he's literally got nothing to look forward to except for the next time he can spout off on YouTube. Now, Jeremy, what were you going to say?
Yeah. Okay. And this goes with what Kevin was just saying about WWE is not bringing him in, TNA is not bringing him in, but there was something on his video about how the shoot's going to lead to a new major TV return to TV announcement.
Right? Oh yeah, that's right. I forgot about that.
We all know, first it's wrestling, so it's a never say never. All right.
Yep.
Second, TNA loves old guys. So, I mean, you both know where I'm going. Is it possible all of this bullshit is just to set up a return? And I know it's kind of weird, you know, coming up with cocaine and all that stuff, but thinking that, you know, because TNA doesn't know who their audience is, that they're having these two guys work the crowd on the internet to build anticipation for Warrior showing up. And I don't firmly believe it, but it's not outside of possibility, that's for sure. I mean, isn't it?
I think the stronger likelihood is that this is happening on its own, and at the same time, Vince Russo is thinking, I could turn this into money. How can I do it? How can I pitch it to my boss where she'll be okay with it? And is it worth it in the end? And ultimately, it's not going to happen. This is not going to turn into any sort of wrestling angle, I don't think. I'm with you. It's not out of the realm of possibility. I just don't think that's what's happening, and I don't think it's going to culminate into anything, any sort of, like, payoff that we're going to see on TV.
Yeah. Well, like you, Kev, what do you think?
I agree with both of you that it's, you know, Warrior just seems so out of it, and at some point, wouldn't he have gotten into TNA, like, if they felt like he was a big enough name still, or could still bring something, wouldn't they have brought him in already? I mean, they are that shitty that this would have happened by
yeah,
now.
Yeah, by now. I mean, they would have tried to at least court him or make him an offer. I mean, they've tried every single other person who's been available from Goldberg down the line. I don't know, man. I'm curious now that I forgot, and I'm glad that you mentioned it, that the end of that 7-minute video promised a return to television for the Warrior. I'm stretching to think of what it could possibly be. Like, I could see him doing, like, a Judge Joe Brown TV show where it's, like, Judge Ultimate Warrior. And he comes up there in a black robe with a Warrior face paint on the back and settles cases. Or, I could see him doing infomercials for a food dehydrator or something. You know, like,
this beef jerky is dried with destrucity of the gods.
Oh, and God.
But I, other than that, like, what the fuck did he possibly do on TV?
Yeah.
You know, is he
especially if he doesn't even look like himself now. So.
Yeah. Yeah, what name recognition? That's another thing. It goes back to he'll never endorse pasta or an energy drink. What name recognition does Ultimate Warrior have compared to someone like Hulk Hogan? Like, who is going to bring him back onto TV and expect any returns from it? You know, if you told 10 people just in general, oh, Hulk Hogan's got a new TV show thing, like, 8 of them would probably know what you're talking about. And if you said, oh, Ultimate Warrior is going to be on TV, they'd be like, what the fuck are you talking about, Ultimate Warrior? What is an Ultimate Warrior?
No, the first question normally would be, isn't that the third one?
No, there you go. Aren't there three Ultimate Warriors? And then Wade Keller's head blows up. Oh, my God. I don't know. Any other thoughts on what he could be doing when he comes back to TV? If it's not TNA and it's not Judge Ultimate Warrior, I mean, what else is there?
I'd be kind of curious to see a Judge Warrior show, though. I don't know why. That'd be kind of interesting. It can't be any worse than the other schlock, so.
Yep, exactly. Judge Maria Sanchez, or whatever her name is.
All right.
Oh, my God. All right. Well, let's see. What else? What else is on the agenda? Like I said, this is going to be a discussion about wrestlers attacking social media with a vengeance. And I noticed there are a lot of wrestlers with podcasts out there, too. Colt Cabana's got a regular podcast that gets, major props from wrestlers and writers and former writers and fans alike. Honky Tonk Man apparently has his own interview show now every week that's starting to take off. Trying to think of other examples. X-Pac, and Jeremy, I know you love that idea, has found his way into social media, too. I don't know. I guess what's the draw for some of these guys to come to a platform that basically exposes you for everything you are when you came from a business that tries to protect it for everything it was worth? Jeremy, I'll start with you since you hate the idea that X-Pac is even alive, I think, at this point.
Well, he's one of the polarizing guys where it's like, you know, I just wish he'd go away. But at the same time, he's got to have some major stories. I mean, look at the guys he hung out with. Look at the position he held. I mean, he was never a top guy, but he was always attached to the top guys.
Mm-hmm.
So to go to the first part, though, the draw to this is you've got, and even with the Ultimate Warrior and who we're going to talk about later, you have what you consider to be instant access to people. If you put a video up, if they're a fan of yours, boom, they're going to go right there and watch it. That's kind of what you do for a living, really. Or whatever you supposedly do. Never mind.
I Gmail chat for a living.
Yes, Eric Todd. No. You have instant access to all these people. So once you get them hooked in, it's a moneymaker, first off. I mean, Xbox got his own website now. Honky Tonk Man's got his podcast thing where you get your other guys and say, hey, come on the show, get some exposure. And these old bastards are going to be able to get in some of these indie shows now because people know they're still around, know what they seem to be relevant. I mean, we have our own little podcast. We have our own site. We consider ourselves to be relevant.
Right.
We're not. Well, to some people we are. But, you know, there's the illusion that you're important, so you keep doing this stuff, and it's a way to make money and instant access to fans. I mean, look at Kevin Nash, what he did at WrestleMania weekend.
Yep.
Through social media, he invited everyone to a party for however much money it was. So you got to go and drink with Kevin Nash and X-Pac and whoever else that showed up.
Yep.
And got to make money off of it. I mean,
yeah. So it's an ego thing, one.
Oh,
Two, it's potential to make money. Kevin, what do you think? I mean, you've got guys like Scott Hall, I mean, of all people, to expose themselves more to the general public than we already know about them, doing his last call to Scott Hall videos, posting them all the time on YouTube, which I love them. I don't know. What do you think? It's, again, it's athlete's ego versus the idea that these intensely private people are now spouting off online. Like, what do you think draws them to it, and what draws the fans to it? And this is where we're going to dub in. This is where we're going to dub in Kevin's response. I didn't hear the ding for him to go away. Oh,
there he
is. Kevin, you need to stop turning your head to the right during audio.
Or was that him leaving?
I think that was actually him exiting. All right, this is going to take some editing work.
Who cares?
Yeah, fuck
warts and all. That's it, right. That's the beauty. Well, no, it, all right. To take it back to the topic, it's stuff like this where it's instant access. It's right off the cuff.
Yep.
You're out there and you're speaking to somebody. So, and I know we goof around. Well, yeah, we'd take the edit or whatever, but it's the next best thing to being live.
Yeah.
You don't have that audience anymore. You don't have that live audience anymore. So
That's true.
You go out there, and if you're Xbox, or it's your Xbox, and you put out one video a day, 38,000 people see it, come to your site to get it, and you don't have to leave your house. You're basically filling up two arenas a day. And, yeah, I mean, in general terms for wrestling, it's putting asses in the seat without having to book a building. I mean, you know, not having to travel, not having to have a building to fill.
Yep.
So, you know, you get... If half of these people, 19,000 people, click on one of the ads on there, there's some more stuff for you.
Yeah. And depending on how geographically dispersed they are, yeah, if you go to an indie show, I mean, there's a real, real good chance that the people that are putting on these shows are marked enough to where they're going to know that these people are doing podcasts or video casts or whatever. And they're going to love the fact that they do it. They're going to recognize the exposure. And then someone like a Honky Tonk Man or a Raven or somebody like that is going to say, oh, I've got, you know, 18,000 followers, or my video had, you know, 70,000 views. Give me $1,500 to do your show, because people are paying attention to what I'm doing. And this, you know, idiot's going to hand over this money without blinking an eye, because he's like, oh, yeah, now maybe, you know, I'll get some rub from it. And a month later down the road, when Disco Inferno is their headliner and they have fucking 10 people in the arena, then it's not going to matter anyway. But, you're right. There is a potential to make money at the end of this social media rainbow. Kevin, are you actually back with us?
Yeah, I was like, oh, son of a bitch. Like, I didn't hear any answer when I had finished up, and I'm like, fuck, when did I stop recording?
Oh, no.
Or when did I get booted?
There is a buzzword in the social media world, and the buzzword is transparency. The idea being that if you're a business and you're on Facebook or Twitter or whatever, you're not doing it to put out a traditional advertising campaign, so to speak. You're there to talk with your audience and let them talk to you, and you're not trying to bullshit them, and you're supposed to be honest with them. So when the ding went off to tell us that you were off the air, I was like, Kevin, what do you think? Dead air. And I'm like, oh, should we edit this? And Jeremy's like, no, this is what I'm talking about.
That's a warts and all sort of thing.
Yep, that's right. Kevin, you're actually... Oh, go ahead.
Oh. Well, no, what I was going to say is, I don't know why I'm actually really interested in this part for some reason, but as soon as you put something out there, which goes to our later topic, once you put it out there, it's out there. And everyone's... I'm having one of those moments where I've got, like, seven things trying to all get out at once.
Okay.
But anyways, the reason they do this sort of stuff, they get the stuff out there. It's out. People see it, get them talking about it, which is exactly what I just realized is going on with the other one.
Uh-huh.
This gets it, but these guys are wrestlers, and what I think that it was speaks to the problem with the business right now is, remember, wrestling was about getting people in the seats, getting tickets sold, getting people to buy the merch.
Mm-hmm.
Well, with the way they can do Twitter videos, do YouTube videos, get tweets to go to a link, get email, go come to my website, look at this, inundate you with all these other ads for all this other stuff. It's always it's the con, if you want to put it that way. It's money, 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 money. I think that's honestly the end result for all of these guys. And I'm not at all judging that. I think it's smart. For these guys who are over the hill, you don't think George Steele or any of the old-time guys, if they could have kept making money by sitting at home and talking about stories about Harley Race and Ric Flair crashing a car into a school bus, you don't think they would have been doing that like crazy?
Absolutely.
I mean, but yeah, so
yep. There you go. Kevin, you consider yourself, well, I consider you to be, you can probably consider yourself to be pretty active on Twitter, right?
Yeah, no, I've definitely been trying to use it more, and shit, I'm still disappointed that I've been able to work up my personal account better than the Stunt Granny account, despite the fact that I've probably worked on the Stunt Granny account more.
Well, and you are on the Stunt Granny account quite a bit, so you see what wrestlers are saying, what wrestlers are doing on Twitter. Just one thought is, who do you feel is, like, the most active on there? Who do you think is putting out the most interesting stuff? And what do you think the benefits are of wrestlers doing this? Which, I mean, I guess we talked a lot about the money-making aspect of it, and that's probably the primary thing. But what do you see going on Twitter that's like, whoa, I can't believe they're doing this, or that's really taken off?
You know, at least on Twitter itself, like, I am surprised at the minimum amount of people who actually – like, there aren't that many people that whore something directly out.
Mm-hmm.
That's
true. You
know, even if they ship you to a website or something, like, honestly, Zack Ryder to me is one of those guys that he's one of the few guys, but it's in his YouTube videos, like, buy my shirt. Like, there aren't
yeah.
a lot of people, like, even when, yeah, Dopey Boy there was talking about his brother. Like, he wasn't even shucking a shirt when Matt Hardy. Fuck it, you know. I mean, we've been alluding to it enough.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But, like, when Matt Hardy came on his video, like, there and Jeff Hardy, like, it wasn't – they weren't trying to sell the most recent painting that Jeff did when he may have allegedly been on substances other than water.
So that
to me is kind of strange about some of this stuff. It's just like, I mean, I know that you guys think there's money at the end of it, but like, where are they collecting the money? Like, are they really getting that much money from banner ads on a website? Like,
I think maybe I think
you know YouTube
they,
doesn't have. They don't distribute money to anybody.
Not anything worthwhile, and you got to be a pretty serious producer and be getting a lot more hits than these pro wrestlers are. I mean, I think what Jeremy's saying is that they think there's a potential to cash in on marks at some point. Not to put words in your mouth, but I think that's kind of like the gist of it. It might not be, you know, 10 cents a time per Google ad, but, you know, there might be that promoter who's like, ooh, I saw 10 of your videos on YouTube. Now I'm going to give you $1,000 to be on my show.
Well, no, I think in the case of the Hardys, though, Kev, they remember, they've got, Matt's got his own, but then they've got that Hardy Show thing.
Yep.
They've got a totally separate YouTube account for the Hardy Show where they sell you on membership to the website through it.
No,
so
yeah,
you sign up
right.
for that, then you can watch that, then you can go and buy the DVD. So Matt uses his free account to make really awkward videos, but then he always brings up the Hardy Channel. Yeah, the Hardy Show. Or they tell you, hey, listen to this one. And then that says, hey, the Hardy Channel. You know, that's what I'm getting at. Not that you're going to get, I mean, real quick, even Zack Ryder says, buy the shirt in his free YouTube video. Well, maybe they don't order enough, but his shirt's always out of stock now. And
well, you know what else? Here's what else Zack Ryder is doing, though. He's creating enough capital with and cachet with his fans, and he's creating fans for himself by doing this.
Mm-hmm.
That
yep.
people are interested in him. They're excited about the idea that they're on this Zack Ryder kick, and they're bringing Broski of the Week signs to Raw and
WWYKI signs to Monday Night Raw, and he's in turn then putting them on his web show, which everyone is watching. He just kept himself a job for like at least the next 3 years, if not longer. I mean, he's going to have to royally screw something up to not continue to have a job, which is money in his pocket. And that's smart.
Yeah.
People care. I mean, I'm not saying people are spending money to buy a Zack Ryder a ticket because Zack Ryder is going to be on the show, but at least there's proof that these people know who he is, and that's like huge, that's hugely beneficial to him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for current wrestlers like that, that really is the end game for them.
And there are guys like, I think like Dolph Ziggler. I love reading his tweets. He's got a great Twitter account. CM Punk, you know, everyone already liked him in the first place, but he's like probably one of the more interesting, if you read between the lines and get over the fact that, you know, he has 140 characters to work with and sometimes only posts one word, shit like that. You know, they're building up a lot of goodwill with these Twitter followers by being honest and truthful and showing some personality, sometimes that they don't get to show on television. You know, fuck, maybe Evan Bourne's not getting a push because he really doesn't have a personality. If you've ever seen the tweet that he puts out every other day, it's not interesting. But you got a guy like Dolph Ziggler who's very active on it and he's interesting to read. I think that goes a long way.
Well, I think that helps too. Like, being more active on it, to me, helps you kind of figure it out better. You know, it's just like anything else. If you kind of practice at it, you're going to be better at it. Like, I know it's no giant art or anything like that. You know, I'm not going to become Picasso or who, I'm not going to become E.E. Cummings or something like that of the of Twitter. But, I think that would help because, like, Yoshitatsu didn't do shit for a long time, and then he started doing those dumb pictures with him and his little character. And that shit just cracks me up. Like, you can still tell that, I mean, he just got better at it, you know? Like, he started using it more. It's like, oh, okay. And, you've just got to do it sometimes, no matter what it is.
Yeah, and it's funny for Yoshi because it's so innocent. He doesn't realize how stupid he looks when he's doing these things. Writing in his English and posting pictures of an action figure, and someone tore the head off of his first figure, and he probably just went out and bought another one and just tried to no sell it.
It's so cute.
Well, no, he had a big thing. Like even when I was doing that research for my article about Tough Enough this week, I guess he was bugging Maurice so bad about it, she started bugging Joey Styles and told him to find Yoshi's head.
Awesome.
Yeah, I mean, Wade Barrett even got involved in that.
Yep, that's right.
Yeah, he got all furious about it. Like, I can't believe someone would disgrace Yoshi like that. You're not a real... And I was like, Jesus Christ, guys. So,
that's so funny. Even Joey Styles, though, look at what he's doing on Twitter. He is in charge of WWE.com and all their digital stuff. And he can say anything he wants to and suffers no repercussions whatsoever. And he says interesting shit. And he retweets people that are in the other company. And it's awesome. And you have that. You feel like you have that connection with Joey Styles. I don't know that he's doing it for the connection. I think he's doing it because it's in his nature to, you know, speak his mind. But how awesome is that? Now he's got the platform to do it, and we're all, you know, we all benefit from it.
Yeah, but then there are guys like Michael Cole who, you know, got, what was it? He called John Cena a fag or something?
Yeah, no, John Madden.
On Twitter. Oh, yeah, that's right. So he had to go to sensitivity training, whatever bullshit.
Mm-hmm,
so,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, so there's a double-edged sword there, but other than Julia Stiles, I don't think anyone would have cared, really. I mean, John calling a fag is a big deal anyways, but,
I don't know. Otherwise, you know, we've been talking, we've been alluding to it so much and finally started talking about it. Why don't we just get to the Matt Hardy talk?
Yeah.
Here's a clown who I guess we've kind of recounted the things that he's doing in social media here in the last couple minutes. He's got his own channel for the Matt Hardy brand. He's got the Hardy Show, which they've been doing for years now. Even when they were in WWE, they were doing this Hardy Show thing, which is basically just home video footage of Jeff Hardy riding his motorbike around his fucking dad's lawn.
And now they're all on Twitter and, like, all that other fucking bunch of hillbillies, like Shannon Moore and Shane Helms are all on there too. And, I mean, they're really making the most out of it. They're on every platform they can be on, but they're making themselves look like assholes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a big difference between Dolph Ziggler posting what's on his mind and Matt Hardy trying to come off like the second coming of Jesus Christ and God's gift to professional wrestling. Big difference. Jeremy, you sounded like you had something to say.
I was just letting my whistle because this is going to take a bit.
Okay.
So, the problem, all right, you're exactly right. Dolph Ziggler does something fun. Zack Ryder uses it to get himself over, promote himself, get his merchandise out there, get himself mentioned on TV to inevitably get himself on TV. Then you got, you know, Joey Styles, like you were saying. Whatever he does, it helps promote WWE because, well, it's Joey Styles. That's where he is now. You got Yoshi. He gets his name out there. He gets other people involved. It's you've got a roundabout thing going on here.
Yeah.
Matt Hardy, on the other hand, you said that they have had this thing going on for a while. It does make them look like assholes, but the thing is, they're oblivious to that because you've got these overweight white chicks. You've got these just total nerds who look up to them, thinking that these guys are cool. Because they're trying to be the wrestling version of Jackass. Because, you know, Jackass is so in vogue right now.
They're starting to do that. I mean,
No. They've been doing that. You go back and watch some of those old videos, man.
Okay.
They had this one where they were doing shock collar jury.
Oh,
I mean, come on. Yeah, I mean, are you going to argue with me about Matt Hardy videos? I mean, seriously?
Uh-huh.
I didn't send all of them to you, but I did watch almost all of them. So
I guess the ones that I was
here.
Thinking of were the ones where he was just speaking honestly and earnestly into the camera, and God, I love you people. I wasn't thinking of, like, the Jackass ones, but yeah, okay.
Yeah. I was going to get to that in a second, actually. Okay. So you got these guys who are trying to make themselves look like Jackass to appeal to an audience that, yes, the Jackass movies do well in the theaters, and they sell well on DVD, but it's not a sustainable property. Their website bombed. I think it was Jackass Nation or something. It did not do well. So because it's built in as an event now, because it's not a TV show, it's not something that you want to see, that people want every day.
Mm-hmm.
But the young audience who does remember them, well, who's gotten older, actually, will still go see it in a bigger venue. Well, with Matt Hardy specifically is the issue. And it went away from that, and really it started gaining steam when the whole Lita thing started. It wasn't as, you know, thorough, but he was one of the first ones that used, I don't know if websites are considered social media or not, but he was the one that, like, put it out there that, you know, Amy broke my heart and all this shit. I mean, all those years ago. And he's been carrying on that shit, message boards, all that stuff, all the way to Twitter now. Whenever he thinks he's got some great thing to pontificate on, like I'm currently doing, he puts it out there and thinks it's, like, the greatest thing ever. I mean, I will never forget that image of him in the jacuzzi where he's, like, all steamed up and he's licking his lip. Oh, God.
Gross.
It's just vile.
Kevin, well, I don't want to cut your actual train of thought off. Sorry, I guess I better not interrupt. I was going to have Kevin interrupt the visual of the jacuzzi and just talk about anything else.
Yeah, Kev, how about how, do you usually lick your lips while you're in a jacuzzi?
No, I honestly, if we're going to talk about the most recent video, which honestly, did we post that?
No, I don't think we posted the most recent one. And just for context, Jeff, Matt, and Matt's quote-unquote girlfriend, who I really think is just some chick for hire, they do this thing called, like, win the shot, call the spot, or something faggoty like that. Anyway, the point is that somebody does something, and then somebody gets to tell the other person what to do, and this hot-ass chick got tased on video. Was it by Jeff? Did Jeff actually do the tasing? I'm not going to lie. I didn't watch it.
No, I'm sorry, dude. I've been off the grid, if you will, since yesterday, and I just now saw the poll. Well, Matt Hardy's next YouTube video feature.
Yep.
The first one, the Waffle Stop. Not even Waffle House. Waffle Stop.
Nope. He doesn't deserve, they don't deserve a Waffle House. They get Waffle Stop.
Can you imagine how dirty a Waffle Stop would be? I mean,
two blocks away from one in Cedar Falls, Iowa. I don't have to imagine. I got drunk and high and threw up in one.
Straight in his ugly fucking nose. Okay, so yeah. The question was, so basically what it was is, it was that game. Yeah. Let me see. Oh, he finally did remove the video. All right.
Yep.
So anyways, it was, they were standing there and they're like, they're talking about something else and they're like, and she's like, no. And it's somebody else who's filming it. It wasn't Jeff.
Okay.
So they're like, you got to take a tase. And she's like, I don't want to do it. And he's like, here, I'll do it real quick. And, okay. So Jeff comes in and puts it on Matt and does it. And he flinches a little. And she freaks out. Going, I'm not doing it. You flinched and this and this. Jeff does like the gun in the mouth thing. He's swearing. He's clearly drunk, allegedly.
Uh-huh.
I mean, right. No. I'm sorry. No. He was drunk.
Yeah.
Because the next video, Matt even says he was.
Yep.
So Jeff is inebriated, drunk, whatever he is. Comes in, does the shock thing. Well, she's freaking out. Jeff does the gun thing, then like parts his fingers and starts licking the inside of his fingers.
Uh-huh.
And then that's where she falls to the ground immediately because she's about a buck five, maybe.
Uh-huh.
She falls to the ground. They're laughing like crazy and they're the whole time.
Uh-huh.
So that was the video. And I'm first having, I like goofing on those things. So posted the video, whatever else. Well, then, in this case, what happened is, obviously, whenever we post something, it goes up on Twitter. Well, somebody named Mohit WWE Atar, his profile says he's in Q8, so I don't know.
Okay.
He responded back to us on Twitter saying, that's Matt Hardy's girlfriend.
Right.
Well, he included Matt Hardy and Red Sky, which is Matt Hardy's supposed girlfriend. Well,
yeah, he mentions them in the tweet, so they would all see the tweet.
Yeah. So I responded back saying, well, clearly, by my post, I knew it was his girlfriend, because if you, for whatever reason, didn't read it, I explained, here's the reason you shouldn't care. She willingly allows Matt Hardy to place his penis in her vicinity, in all probability, inside her vagina. She gets what she deserves. So I clearly knew it was his girlfriend, right? Understanding it wasn't malicious, it was them doing their jackass stunt again.
Yeah.
And they said this was a short preview for the next Hardy show thing, all right?
Mm-hmm.
There were so many ways we could have goofed on this thing. And my headline was, Jeff Hardy tases a woman. Because that's what he did. So, an hour later, and I was telling Kevin, I think I told you, I was incredibly happy Tuesday when this happened.
Uh-huh.
Because I went to the Torch, Observer, Insider, ProWrestling.net, Gurus.net real quick, whatever the big guys are. One of them had the video up. No one had a mention of it. Wasn't any of the message boards, all right?
Yep.
An hour later, there's the E number 197, the Matt Hardy Show 197. Wait a minute. All right, I want to make sure I get this right. Yeah. Well, he might have renumbered it. I thought 197 was the tase video, but
I think 197 is the tase video and 198 is the I'm going to pull this down, I'm sorry video.
Yeah, well, he renamed them now. So 197 is, I'm sorry, I'm taking it, I took it down.
Oh, what a piece of shit. Okay.
Yeah.
Speaking of fucking transparency, good Lord. Okay.
Yeah. So this motherfucker gets on there and says, it was done in a lighthearted fashion, and Kevin had a really good line for what Matt Hardy says in this thing. He goes, Jeff's been in a really, really special place or wonderful place for the last 3 months. He decided to cut loose one time. And, I don't remember your exact words.
Yeah, no, it was, It was, yeah, no, that's exactly what anybody who probably is enabling a friend and or family member would say at that juncture. It's just like, even if it's true, it's really, really bad. Like, I even said it to my one coworker. I was like, do you think it'd be a bright idea if you're up on drug trafficking charges to show up on video and tase somebody while you're drunk? And he goes, no. And I'm just like, okay. You know,
sure,
like,
we're on the same page here.
Yeah, like I didn't attempt to try explain who it was or, you know, what realm of things we were talking about.
Yeah.
I was just like, yeah, no, this is what happened. He's like, that is stupid. I'm like, yeah, no, it's just like, what the hell were you thinking? And then, yeah, just whatever, man. If they really cared about Jeff Hardy, well, I don't know how many people are just like, oh, yeah, he has an alcohol problem or a drug problem. Oh, yeah, you know what? He'll just do drugs once, and then everything will go back to normal, and he won't go doing them again.
Right,
like,
yeah,
Alcoholics Anonymous doesn't say, oh, yeah, no, it's okay. If you only have a beer every now and again, that's
right, yeah.
Cool.
It's like, okay,
it's never going to degenerate.
It's a 12-step program with a cheat day built in.
Yeah, it's just like, no. Like, he's either going to stay sober or he's just going to do the same goddamn dumb thing more than likely again.
Yeah. But, no, Kevin nailed it. I even yelled at him, like, these motherfucking enablers.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. My uncle was an alcoholic, and he would get drunk, and he'd be like, don't tell anybody. I'm like, of course I'm going to tell somebody. So he'd get pissed off, and I'm like, I'm too fucking bad. Don't drink then, stupid. I mean, you don't want people to know. But, I mean, I did that one time when he's like, don't tell anybody or I'm never going to come visit you again. And I'm like, okay. So I didn't say it. But any other time, I was like, after that, I was like, wait a minute, he ain't getting used to that as fucking blackmail.
Mm-hmm.
So to do this, I mean, I understand if he wants to cut up, and it's, all right, I guess we should preface this with, it's never been confirmed Jeff has any sort of drug problem.
Right.
I mean, not that I know of. There's always been the talk. There's always the backstage guys. There's always, WWE is concerned. Wait a minute, no, he did get suspended, didn't he, when he was in WWE, didn't he?
I think so.
By his father.
Okay, yeah,
so yeah, that's right. All right. Well, so never mind then. But
okay.
I wish we would have thought of this a little bit better. But no, you need to, when it comes to that stuff, and I don't know why we're doing a public service announcement for him, but when it comes to that sort of thing, you get away from the people who are doing the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's like I listened to Opie and Anthony, so it was Kevin, and I heard Steve O this morning talking about, you know, when he gets to go with the Jackass guys, he has to choose the spots where he's going to get together with them.
Right.
Because usually it means they're all going to go and get drunk. And he's like,
right,
you know, I have to take that into account.
Mm-hmm.
Well, instead, Jeff goes, gets drunk with his brother, while his court case continually gets bumped again. Whatever the story is behind that thing. And then this loving, caring brother puts a fucking video on YouTube. When you know he gets at least 80,000 hits per video, I think.
Right.
You have to be smarter. You have to surround yourself with people who are fucking stupid on top of that.
There's a phrase, delusions of grandeur. Now let's break that down. Delusions.
Mm-hmm.
That means the person is delusional, okay? When people think that phrase, delusions of grandeur, I think they accidentally replace the word delusion with illusions, and they think, oh, people are just imagining it. No. Delusional. That means you're out of your fucking gourd, okay?
Yeah.
You're delusional. And grandeur, thinking, you know, that something's grand and big and important. And Matt Hardy seriously thinks that he and his brother, he's so out of his mind that he thinks that those two are so goddamn important that it turns him into somebody who's not self-aware when it comes to this type of shit. And he would rather film it and post it and just sit back wringing his hands and salivating and waiting for the positive comments to come in, which completely are completely unearned, then think about the repercussions of what he's posting.
Yeah. Oh, and let's be honest, those comments do come in.
Unbelievable. When we've – and you used to put me up to it back in the day. You'd send me these rotten-ass videos, and then I would post comments under my Hold for Swank account on YouTube. And, man, I would get attacked, like, all day long. You know, about once every half hour I'd get another comment. How dare you, and who do you think you are, and all this stuff. And I'm like, Jeremy, you got to read this shit. This is incredible.
Oh, yeah. Maybe we should start doing that again. That was a lot of fun. Maybe we should make a Stunger any account. They're clearly paying attention to us.
Well, he obviously knows who we are, because the latest video that came up, I think, just at some point today's Thursday, where first it's Matt, and then he's flanked by Jeff and some scrawny fucking hillbilly that looks like he doesn't
His name is John. Yes.
Oh, sorry, John. Who's apparently doing good things for Matt, Jeff Hardy, and Jeff Life. They come on there and they talk about how positive everything is and positive light and doing great things. And I'm going to go ride my bike. Seriously, that's what Jeff said. He's like, I'm going to go and I'm going to ride my motorbike. And then Matt's left on there.
Yeah. Well,
go ahead.
No, he's going to go water his garden. Water his dad's garden.
Those two are going to water the garden. That's right. He said that one of the positive things he's doing is ride his bike because he says it's art.
Yeah, no, and I like how one of the big positives was, and they make it sound, and you were talking about the delusions of grandeur, like, they're like, oh, Jeff Hardy wrote, produced, and directed the latest Hardy show all by himself. And it's like, do you think that this is on, like, network TV or even cable TV? Like, it's probably not even good enough to be shot by a porn director.
Yet, according to Matt and Jeff, it's some sort of huge accomplishment.
Yeah. Well, all right, and also, I mean, it goes under the guise of him saying, he's creating his art, or, oh, my God. It's one of those douche moments where people who aren't good at what they do, like, so, or someone who consistently says, well, you know, when I make my music, that sort of thing, that's what they were doing in that video.
Yep.
That's what Jeff was doing. And I'm irritated Kevin got to it before me because he didn't just beat me to the punch on it. But, yeah, oh, God. Doesn't it also, when someone says everything's positive, or I'm doing this that's positive and this that's positive, how come no one ever mentions what I'm doing that's negative? Or, well, this is kind of middle of the road. And if all you can do is name two things, you ain't doing shit that's positive. He just wants a pat on the back for doing nothing. And it's like, look, what's the thing? You do it by your works or deeds, not your, I don't know, I can't remember. It's some biblical thing. But
I don't know. I'll give you $20 if you water my plants.
Yeah. It's kind of hard to do positive things when you never leave your dad's house.
And, well, his dad's got nothing to do with this. Never mind.
It's not like he's letting little old ladies get in front of him in traffic or something like that. That would at least be like a Midland sort of thing. He doesn't do shit. God, it's funny that you said he's making such a big deal about quote unquote producing the latest Matt Hardy show. Literally, all you need to be able to do that is to be functional and awake and maybe drunk a little bit, or at least buzz, and know how to turn a camera on, point it in the right direction, and turn it off.
Yeah.
He's not doing anything positive.
Yeah, I mean, I consider doing, like, stunt granny videos just for fun, just doing stupid shit.
Uh-huh.
It's not going to happen, but I would have the wherewithal to go, I'm doing nothing for nobody. These morons are doing nothing, and let me refresh the page. It was at 21,000. Let me see. Okay. This last video, 199, is at 21,253 views. And it was posted on the 8th. What's today's date? Oh, 9th. January 9th? Anyways. It goes through your delusions of grandeur thing. And the way they're so smug in these videos, too, I don't understand how anybody could think that they're likable. They're just like three fucking – they're hill jacks with money, which is annoying.
Yep. And I'm glad you mentioned the likable thing and the smug thing, because near the end of what Matt Hardy was saying in his video, he said, whether you like me – this is at the point where he said that calling a truce with the dirt sheets. Okay, truces usually happen when both sides are fighting each other. You know, truces are signed and wars end and treaties and things like that. No one has a vendetta against Matt Hardy, not even us. We're out here to call out people for the stupid shit that they do. We're not out here, you know, because we have an agenda against Matt Hardy. It might look like it, but we don't. And it doesn't help him that he continuously does stupider shit than everybody else that we follow when it comes to pro wrestling. Now, he says that he's going to call a truce against the dirt sheets. And then he goes on to say, whether you like me or you hate me. And I just like gritted my teeth. I'm like, you son of a bitch, you're going to say, at least you're talking about me. Well, quit giving a shit to talk about, you fucking rotten hillbilly. Mm-hmm. Quit doing stupid things that we think are so fucking funny that we want to make sure all of our friends know about. It's the same stupid shit you do when you tase your fucking fake girlfriend and you get your fucking addicted brother drunk. You think it's so fucking funny and you put it on YouTube. We think it's stupid. We think you're stupid, but we think it's funny to talk about it. So there's your truce. You like that one? You fucking hate
it. Yeah, I'm glad you said that both sides find the truth. Because I remember getting fucking papers to say, hey, we're going to take care of you. So, no, there's no fucking truth at all.
I don't remember.
Thank you. Because I even told Kevin that. I was texting Kevin. I was like, dude, does this mean we're part of the dirt sheets now?
Yeah.
Because
well,
it goes back to what I said earlier. It was my post. It was off of Stun Granny. Stun Granny is now considered a dirt sheet because Matt Hardy thinks we are. Well, that's fine. We're fucking dirt sheet. We're legit now. That's fucking amazing.
Yep.
Maybe our hits will get above 20,000 one day. It'd be nice if they got over 20, but hey, who cares? we're an official dirt sheet now.
Yep.
We've gone from the top of the mountain, or near the top, being over the torch. We fell way down, and all of a sudden, we're back up at the torch with absolutely no cause behind it.
Yep.
I mean, this is our day to celebrate, because some dumb fucking hillbilly who somehow is allergic to red meat. I don't think it's actually red meat he's allergic to, by the way. With something I've learned, I'm allergic to the fat in red meat. That's what made me fat. Fucking idiot. But we're a dirt sheet now. Top one open. We made the big time.
Yep, that's right.
Good to see
you. Kevin, it's your turn to rant.
Yeah.
My turn to rant?
Yeah.
Or just celebrate. We're a dirt sheet now, Kev.
My response to that was awesome.
Yeah.
Come on, it's just like, oh yeah, because Jerry. Well, no, that was actually when this whole thing unraveled. I'm like, when you started explaining to me, you're like, oh, what does the at thing mean? Or where do you find the mentions on Twitter? And I'm just like. You know, sometimes I don't pay attention to who directs stuff at us, maybe often enough. And that was one that definitely passed me by. I'm like, holy shit, this is awesome. Like,
yeah.
That dummy. And then, you, Eric, you kind of backed it up, too. Didn't you say that someone was coming to the site through a link?
Yeah, actually, I got deeper into our stats, and I saw that oh, gosh, what was the post? Oh, Jeremy, it was your post about Luke Robinson from Tough Enough having the scandal.
Never materialized,
Yeah, the whole post was actually copied and pasted onto a forum on the USA Network website. And people have been people have been coming to Stunt Granny, like, for the last, like, week or more from that post, from that person's forum post with a link to our site.
So I'm the motor that's making Stunt Granny run, then.
Yeah, thank you, by the way.
I want to raise, bitches.
Your hair will stay exactly where it is. Zero.
What's a 5% increase on nothing?
Oh, okay. I'll take that. That's fine.
Okay.
That's cool. No, No, I you didn't tell me that. That's cool though.
Yeah.
Like in USA Network for it. I'm sure they're all happy about it too. If any of the guys saw it.
Again, the less people can associate themselves with us, the better off they'll be.
No, I just went with the skin flute. He was like, oh, great. This guy's wrestling around with boners. Wonderful. Do you see me on Raw? Great. No. I'm trying to think. There was something else about this video. This is another problem with these videos. This is something that we can just leave off, whatever. There's, in this video, Jeff Hardy goes through his spiel. And this is the 199, the whole truth bullshit. Jeff's like, yeah, John's done a lot of great things in my life, this and this. He's like, I love you, man. That John guy is an actor. He's not a friend. There's no way he's a friend of theirs.
Uh-huh.
Because he just turns like, oh, and they do the manly, like, chest bump, pat the back real quick. And, like, Jeff goes, I love you, man. And the guy just blows him off. And Jeff goes, well, that'd be a good way to, that's where you're supposed to say I love you. He's like, oh, I love you too, man. And I'm like, what kind of put it on bullshit is this?
Yeah.
Like, really? So that was the most genuine thing I've seen on any Hardy video.
Uh-huh.
So,
and he gets blown off.
Yeah, he just gets blown off, and yeah, whatever. So
funny. Yep.
No, there is no truth on our side. Fuck you. So.
Hey, like I said, we don't have a vendetta against those guys. We're commenting on what we see, which is what people do. It's human nature. So quit doing dumb things and we'll quit talking about it.
Yeah, and I mean, that is the other downside to just the whole social media thing. Like, you can sink yourself with that kind of bullshit. Like, especially if you're doing the personal stuff, like, and kind of going back to Ryder, like, you can tell that at least in some way he's thinking about it, but he's keeping it in his character.
Yeah.
And even with the Yoshi things, it isn't, that's kind of his character. Like, he's not really doing anything that, you know, would get him in trouble, really. Like, him, his doll with a picture of spinach and eggs for breakfast every fucking day is not going to get him in trouble.
Right.
Like, Jeff and Matt Hardy, hey, if you want to take the risk and kind of feel like you're being that creative, you know what? There are going to be some people that don't like you. And, you know, that's kind of the risk that you run, especially something of the nature that they always do. It's just like when they do think that they're saying something so truthful and whatnot, you know, you're not being silly, you're not being funny, like you think that you're being some type of insightful. What the fuck is going on?
And that's the worst part, is that they're just being themselves. That might even be the worst part of all. They're just being themselves, and this is the byproduct of it. The Hillbilly Olympics.
Oh, man, yes, I'd love to see the Hillbilly Decathlon. That'd be fun.
All right, well, we've been
Hillbillies, I am watching AJ Styles stand in the fucking crowd right now.
Yeah, all right, we've hated on the Hardys, I think, enough for one episode. Unless anyone has any parting shots, I'm out. I rang myself dry a little bit ago.
I'm just gonna say that on DirecTV, it is still called TNA Wrestling, not Impact Wrestling. So
yeah, so set your DVRs appropriately, kid.
Yeah, well, Velvet Sky should have never gotten those bigger boobs. Those are ridiculous. They make her look awkward now. I mean, she's still beautiful, but still.
Who?
Velvet Sky. Who did that? What did I say?
No.
Yeah, Velvet Sky. Remember, she got those bigger-ass titties about a half a year ago, something like that? I mean, they're just monsters now. And I thought they looked better with, like, the C's, not the double D's that looks like she has. So.
I agreed.
Yeah.
Although, what's her name? Was looking mighty fine earlier. What's her name? Sarita.
Oh, I thought you were going to say ODB. I was like, no, not really.
That's your woman.
Are huge. Yeah.
I'm telling you, man, that'd be a fucking ride and a half. ODB would, but
yikes,
just hurt you. On that note, I guess we should get out of here. So
yeah, I think so. All right,
we should do a live TNA streaming show just for fun.
We should sometime. Mystery Science Theater, that shit.
Yeah. I don't know. Can we get in trouble for doing that? I guess we, as long as we don't use the audio, I guess it'd be okay.
Right. Yeah. It's like those shoot interviews where Demolition was were watching their own matches, but you couldn't, you know, put the match on the TV.
Oh, real quick, the one video, the Hardy video, had a really good title. It's called E number 196, Garbage Disposal in the Dirty South. And the preview clip is just Matt Hardy's smiling face next to it. So that pretty much sums it up. So that's my last word for the night. Later.
Well, all right. On that case, I got a last word for you, too. Ultimate Warrior a few days ago left a tweet telling all of his followers to rip fresh ass today. So hopefully everybody does that, and I'll see you next time.
Okie doke, grandkids. I am going to go grab a sippy time beer and drown my sorrows in the fact that, yeah, I was just way too quiet this whole episode.
Well, that big mouth you got, I kind of have to be, I guess.